Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me. Master, Savior, Prince of Peace. I tell you, the Christian life really is that simple, amen? He's Lord. He's Lord. And He's Lord of everything. And when you know Him as Lord, and you serve Him as Lord, and you live Him as Lord, I tell you, you know His peace. You know His power. You know His purpose. There's no one like my Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning as we get started. What would you say is the greatest need that we have here at the Harvest Baptist Temple? Maybe some of you this morning would say, oh, preacher, I know. Pick me. New building. Some of you would say, no. Preacher, what we really need is a couple new ministries. Hear me out. I got some good ideas. Some of you would say, no. We need people. I mean, there's so many people in our community who don't know Christ. We need people. We need to reach people and bring people and see them saved, see them discipled. Maybe some would even say, I probably just think we need a better pastor. I don't know. John approves. All right. The reality is if we went around the room, the answers would probably be about as varied as the people that we ask. But understand this morning, it's an important question. It's a really important concept because the bottom line is I want to be all that God would have us to be. Amen? I want to make a difference for God. In my own life and in my own ministry, in my own family, I want to make a difference for God. How I would hate to go through this life, however many years the Lord gives me, and come to the end and know what I could have done, what I should have done. I want to make a difference for Christ. And so what is it that we need? And here's the exciting thing this morning. When it comes to the idea, what is it that we really need here at Harvest? What is it that you really need in your home? What is it that you really need in your heart and life on a regular basis? It doesn't matter what your opinion is. And it doesn't matter what my opinion is. What matters is what God has said. Amen? And what we're going to look at today, I believe, is the fundamental greatest need of believers. And that is simply this: to walk in and be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit for a while. We've had a little bit of a break, but if you'll remember way back to the month of July, we've been preaching and teaching about the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does. He indwells us. He intercedes for us. He illuminates us. He equips us. He seals us, or He stamps us with the ownership of God. He sanctifies us. Bottom line is this: the Holy Spirit of God was given to believers, those who have come to Christ, in order to equip and empower us to live for Christ. And the Bible teaches this: without Him, you can't live for God. You can't. Without the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot live for God. Now, when we come to this idea of being Spirit-filled, there's so much confusion around this topic. What is it? What difference does it make? How does it happen? When does it happen? Suppose somebody were to ask you right now, are you filled with the Spirit? Right there where you sit. Are you filled with the Spirit? Most Christians would go, I think so. I hope so. I don't know. But it's so important. Suppose someone did ask you if you were filled with the Spirit right now, what would you say? And not only what would you say, but what reasons would you give to justify your response? We must learn to be filled with the Spirit. Now, walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit is the difference between success and failure in the Christian life. And so as we here on Sunday morning kind of wrap up our teaching and preaching on the Holy Spirit, let's jump right into what it is to be Spirit-filled. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll read the verse again together. The Bible says this, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I want you to notice with me, if you would, first of all, the genuine relationship. The genuine relationship. Now, we have to start with a needed explanation. And this is just a basic reminder. When we talk about the Holy Spirit of God, we are talking about a person. The third member of the Godhead. He has a mind. He has an emotion. He has emotions. He has a will. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he's not just a person. He is holy, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful God. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 7 says this, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." The Holy Spirit is not a mystic force. It is not just some sort of sphere of influence. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Bible teaches us this, that the Holy Spirit, get this, indwells every believer at salvation. So that means if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are saved today, you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. Boy, isn't that good stuff. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you. He is, the Bible says, God's down payment or earnest on the fullness of our redemption. You house the Holy Spirit of God in your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19 says this, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you and that ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Don't you realize, Christian, that you, if you are a Christian, house the Holy Spirit of God within you? Boy, don't get over that. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon them. And that was pretty cool. In the Gospels, the Son of God walked beside them. And I tell you, that would have been incredible. But you and I have the greatest privilege. Because we have the Spirit of God living within us. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there are no words to describe how glorious that is. You house the Spirit of God within you. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," what are those next five words? The Bible says, "He is none of His." And so understand this, if you're not sure if you have the Holy Spirit, then you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Because you have the Spirit when you get saved, or you don't have the Spirit. And this morning, if you don't have the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you, I love you. But this morning, if you don't have the Spirit of God, then according to God's Word, you are not yet a child of God. And you are yet in your sins. And the Bible says that as you sit and as you listen, that you are currently dead in your sins and separated from God. But you don't have to stay that way. Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." But if you're here this morning and you're a believer, and you don't have a relationship with the Spirit, can I tell you, that's your fault. He moved in. He moved in. You know, you can live with people and not have a relationship with them. There are a lot of families that cohabitate. I mean, they just dwell together. There's no real relationship. And sadly, that's what a lot of Christians do with the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have a relationship with Him, that's on you. He moved in, lock, stock, and barrel. Amen. And so the needed explanation reminds us simply of this. There's no excuse. There is no excuse for you as a born-again child of God not to be filled with the Spirit, not to walk in the Spirit. Come on, we got to get rid of some of this bad theology that's out there, okay? Because our beliefs ought to determine our behavior. We are rooted in the truth that we might rise and bear fruit. So we got to get rid of this bad theology that's out there. So you know what? Fooey on the idea that the Holy Spirit simply comes and goes like He did in the Old Testament. Fooey with the idea that I can pray and get more of the Holy Spirit for some special occasion. You know, sometimes we get the idea that the Holy Spirit, boy, I wish He'd come to me, but He only comes to special people in special circumstances. And we'll hear some great story about some revival or some conference, and the Spirit of God will come, and we see somebody, and all of a sudden they're, boof, a spiritual Samson. And they have the spiritual strength of 1,000 men. And wow, that's a no. Fooey with that. The Holy Spirit of God is not some mystical force that comes and goes for special occasions. We don't become super saints for a little bit of time. No. No excuses. Every believer has all of the Holy Spirit. Has all of the Holy Spirit that they will ever have. And here's where we begin to make our distinction, okay? Being indwelt by the Spirit is not the same thing as being filled with the Spirit or walking in the Spirit. This filling speaks of His practical continued work in your life. The filling of the Spirit of God is not some sort of manic ecstasy where we roll on the floor and bark like dogs and babble, okay? That is not it. But nor, church, is the filling of the Spirit mere existence. Yes, I'm glad He's there, but He doesn't do zilch in your life. You know, a lot of us would say, no, the Holy Spirit doesn't zap us. But a lot of us, let me ask you, look back at your last week. Where was the Holy Spirit in your life? Where can you say, you know what? Right there. That was the Holy Spirit, and 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 that was the Holy Spirit. You know what? We're quick to wag our finger at people that want to talk about getting zapped, and a lot of us are over here doing zilch. And the Holy Spirit's not either of those. He's not. It speaks to the practical working in your life on a moment-by-moment basis. Let me put it this way. Being filled or walking in the Spirit is not a question of whether you possess all of the Spirit, but whether or not the Spirit possesses all of you. It's not a question about whether I have enough Holy Spirit. It's about whether or not the Holy Spirit has enough of me. No excuses. Let me ask you this. Christians, how in the world can we say that we house, tabernacle, the Spirit of God and say that He's not enough? That He's not enough to do my marriage right? That He's not enough to raise my kids right. That He's not enough to handle adversity right. That He's not enough to forgive right. No. He is God and He is enough. Amen. And it's never a question about whether He's enough. It's always a question of whether He has enough of us. Galatians 5 and verse number 16 reminds us this. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a glorious truth, because that doesn't matter what my stronghold is or my struggle is or my shame is, that if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That if I walk in the Spirit, I will overcome sin. As I walk in the Spirit, I will overcome the world and I will overcome the devil, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 4 tells us this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Oh, it just keeps getting better. Not only do I have power as I walk in the Spirit not to commit sin, but God also gives me the power to fulfill righteousness. Oh, it's not just about no to sin. It's about yes to God. And when you walk in the Spirit, what you find is you have power to do everything and to be everything that God has created you to be. Mountains that seemed impassable are laid low in His strength. It's the genuine relationship. Sometimes we just need the good old basic explanation again, amen, to remind us that every one of us who know Christ, pardon my English, ain't got no excuses. The genuine relationship. Spirit-filled. It's a genuine relationship. But it's also a God-given responsibility. The end of verse number 18 again speaks of this. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're going to do a little bit of a grammar lesson, okay? Is that all right? We started school back this week here. I know some of our young people have not started school back, but that's okay. Just consider this a warm-up, amen? Everybody with me? Can we do a little grammar this morning? Some of us are, come on, church, can we do a little grammar this morning? Tell you what, if we do a little grammar now, maybe we'll play a game later, okay? All right, perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right, here we go. So I want you to notice some things about this God-given responsibility that we have. First off, it is a present command. That means the present tense has the idea of continual action in the Greek. That means that right now I need to be filled with the Spirit. That right now I need to walk in the Spirit. That means if I was walking in the Spirit when I taught Sunday school, that was great, but that didn't do anything for me right now. If I was walking in the Spirit when I got married, that was great, but that didn't do anything for me right now. If I was walking in the Spirit when I prayed for my kids last night, that was great, but it doesn't do anything for me right now. The present tense means right now, presently, as you sit, as you stand, as you listen, that you need to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, this, let me put it this way, it ought to be the normal, everyday, moment by moment state of the believer. It ought to be your normal way of life. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. It's not a missions conference thing. Boy, missions conference can be emotional, can't it? I mean, God can work in powerful ways, but being filled with the Spirit, it's not a missions conference thing. It's not a like once every year or two when the preacher puts together a decent sermon that, boy, you know, God got a hold of my heart. No. It is a moment by moment by moment continual state of the believer. It is a present command. I want you to notice something else about this command, this responsibility that God has given us. And we might miss this one in English. It's also a plural command. Paul here, as he's commanding them to be filled with the Spirit, he does so in a way that he is speaking in the plural number. In other words, the command to be filled with the Spirit is the command for all believers. It's not just a special instruction for the preacher or for the song leader or for the deacons. It's not just a special instruction for special people. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God lives within you, then to be filled with the Spirit is God's command for you right now. You know, back in the book of Acts, when this whole church thing was just getting kicked off, chapter number 4, verse 31, God put it this way. He said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake with the word of God with boldness. Being filled with the Spirit is the plain standard of God for your life. And as we consider this truth that it is a plural command, don't miss this, it's a command. You know, so often we read through these things, we're like, yeah, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yep, that's good, that's good, that's good. No, that's not just good, that's a command. It's a command. It is a command, not a suggestion for a better life. It is the sovereign King of the universe on his throne, looking at his people and saying, be filled, be filled, be filled. Amen. It's not step 6 on your best life now. It's a command from God Almighty, and that ought to mean something, because he's God and I'm not. Because he's God and you're not. I like to put it this way. If God wrote in this book that we're supposed to stand on our heads and drink purple Kool-Aid, then we ought to do it. Why? Because it makes sense? Because it would add anything great to our spirit? No, but if God said it, we should do it because he's God, and I'm not. And it really is that simple. Can I frame it a little bit differently for you? To not live a spirit-filled life is at best absolute failure and is in reality flagrant disobedience. To not live filled by the Spirit, to not live walking in the Spirit, is at best absolute failure. And in reality, it is flagrant disobedience. It's a plural command. But Christian, not only is it a present command and a plural command, this one's the one that's really interesting and really eye-opening to me. It is a passive command. It's a passive command. Now, we're not as familiar with how this works. We're used to active commands like, son, go take out the trash. Girl, set the table. Husband, mow the lawn. I mean, these are the commands that we're used to, because when we're told to do something, we can get up, we can put our feet to work, we can put our hands to work, and we can do what we're told. Now, this is not an active command, meaning you are not commanded to fill yourself. And there are a lot of Christians that look at it that way. They look at it, I'm going to fill, and I'm going to fill, and I'm going to fill, and I'm going to fill. No, 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 no. You are not commanded to fill yourself. You're commanded to be filled. Filling is a work of God, not a work of man. So, preacher, if I don't do it, how in the world am I supposed to do it? That's a pretty good question, I think. The issue, if I could coin a term, is the idea of fillability. Fillability. Meaning, are you able and available to be filled? Or fillability, you could say, is the state in which the Holy Spirit is free to do all that he came into my life to do. He's free to do it all. No matter what the Holy Spirit wants, he is free to do it. The glorious truth is this, that the Holy Spirit is ready and willing at any moment to fill us, if we would but make ourselves available to him. The problem is we like to hold on to things, don't we? We like our way. We like our comfort. We like our ration. We like our logic. Our emotions are comfortable to us. We like us. But God said that's not how it works. Are you available to be filled? Are you available to be filled? That's why the Bible, in regards to the Holy Spirit of God, gives us a couple of other commands. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30 says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise, or grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. To grieve the Holy Spirit would be to actively go against and cause pain to His person. In other words, Holy Spirit, I know you told me to do this or not to do it, but I'm going to do my way anyways. I don't care. And so grieving the Holy Spirit is flagrant, active disobedience. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 19, it puts it this way, quench not the Spirit. To quench the Spirit really has the idea of stamping down or putting out His purposes. In other words, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to, and you say, I can't hear you. I'm not listening. And it's a passive disobedience. Whether it's a sin of commission, meaning active disobedience, or a sin of omission, meaning passive disobedience, it's a sin, amen? Whether I tell my son to take out the trash and he looks at me and stomps his foot and says, I don't wanna. Or he says, okay, and then goes upstairs and plays with Legos and forgets. It's disobedience. Fillability is the fact that when the Spirit speaks, you listen. When the Spirit speaks, you obey. That when the Spirit speaks, that every aspect and every part of your life is open and available to every aspect and part of His will. It's a passive command. I think you could sum it up in one word. Surrender. Surrender. To be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, is to be surrendered to the Spirit. Spirit filled. We see the genuine relationship, the God-given responsibility, and finally this morning, the guaranteed results. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want you to notice here, first of all, the conquering strength. And for this, we draw the contrast between the Spirit of God and alcohol. Both alter behavior, emotions, mental processes, decision-making. Alcohol, in the very negative sense, the Spirit of God in the absolute positive sense. Let me give you a couple of illustrations about how this word filled is used in the literature. First of all, it has the idea of picture that of wind hitting sails. And so as that boat sits in the water, that wind hits the sail and moves the boat across the water to its intended destination. And so this idea of being filled is the picture of the wind hitting the sail. You got a sailboat with no wind, and you got a sailboat that's at the mercy of the tide. And if we are at the mercy of the tide of our culture, we are in big, big trouble. It's the wind to move us forward. This idea of being filled was also used in the context of like a hand that would go into a glove. You know, I could have brought an old baseball mitt and laid it down, and that baseball mitt just laying there wouldn't have been able to do a thing on its own. But if I pick the baseball mitt up and I put my hand inside, some of you may say, I've seen you play softball and baseball, and that glove's still no good because it's got your hand in it. But the reality is this. You put a hand in that glove, and that glove is now able to accomplish the purpose for which it was created. And so you, without the filling of the Spirit, you're a boat tossed about with the currents of our culture. You, without the filling of the Spirit, are but an instrument who is lying powerless, unable to perform that which you have been created to perform. But with the Spirit, you can live what God has created you to do. And so the Spirit of God is the energy and empowerment in your life to do God's will. Without Him, we can do nothing. Not only is He conquering strength, but He provides complete saturation. Another picture of being filled or fullness was used, for instance, in the implementation of salt. You use salt on meat or you put salt in a dish, and what does that salt do? The flavor fills up the dish, does it not? And so you salt it and it fills up the dish. The salt will fill, or you could even say, permeate the entire dish. The flavor is full. And so the Spirit of God will saturate, will flavor our lives so that everyone interacting with us sees, feels, and hears God. It dominates us. It dominates us. And so it gives us strength and it saturates us. You know this, there is not an area of your life that the Spirit does not desire to speak to and to mold and to saturate and to dominate. So what do? We get over ourselves. We humble ourselves. And we seek Him. Can I tell you this? The Spirit of God wants to lead in your marriage. He wants to saturate your marriage. You say, preacher, you don't know my marriage. And I'd say, Christian, you don't know the Holy Spirit who lives within you. The Spirit of God wants to saturate your finances. Do you know what? The Spirit of God had something to say about what you did or didn't put in the plate a few minutes ago. It did. He did. The question is, did we listen? You know, the Spirit of God has something to say about conflicts that come into our lives. The Spirit of God has something to say about ministry opportunities that we have. The Spirit of God has something to say about how we raise our kids. The Spirit of God has something to say about how we interact as citizens. The Spirit of God has something to say about how we witness. The Spirit of God has something to say about how we take care of our bodies. The Spirit of God has something to say about our friendships. He wants to dominate your life, saturate every aspect of it. And that is the only way to spiritual success. And so often we want to say, I know but. Whenever you're ready to say, I know but, understand who you're filled with. Understand who's calling the shots. Greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. The guaranteed results. The bottom line issue is that of influence or control. Hear me now. Being Spirit-filled is not an event. It is a state of being. There will never be a time where you need more or can get more of the Spirit. But every moment the Spirit needs more of you. And this is paramount. This is so important because honestly, walking in the Spirit is the only way to live for and please God. You cannot live for God without the Spirit. You can't. You can't. The flesh can imitate a lot of things the Spirit can do. You know, the flesh can come to church. It can. And the flesh can be kind to its spouse, and the flesh can love its kids, and the flesh can even read the Bible. The flesh can give in the offering. The flesh can go to the fair. The flesh can pass out a gospel tract. The flesh can be here every night of missions conference. The flesh could up their faith promise giving. The flesh can do all of it. But the one thing the flesh cannot do is please God.
Amen.
And I want to please God. I want to make a difference for Him. The Spirit is speaking and the Spirit is leading all of the time. The question is, are we following? Okay, now here's the game. Remember, I promise you a game if you let me do grammar. It's like the game Simon Says. And I've used this illustration in here before. And I'll do it again. I used to do it with the teens all the time. I'd say, all right, guys, we're going to do a little warm-up game. We're going to do Simon Says. And let me get a fun section to help me here, okay? This is my fun section. Can you guys help me? Congratulations. You can help me, right? Amen. Hey, can they help me this morning? Amen. All right, guys, we're going to play a little Simon Says. I need you to help me, okay? Because I need you to help demonstrate what all is going on. So please help me. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Simon Says, let's go. 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 And you're all out. Because Simon didn't say stand up. Sit down. And we laugh. And we chuckle and we say, oh, that's what's going on. That's what you were doing. And it's funny here, isn't it? But the reality is this, that a lot of us are going to get to heaven one day and say, oh, that's what you wanted. Oh, that's how you were leading. You know, I heard you. I didn't understand that's what we were doing. I'm afraid a lot of us are going to get to heaven one day. And we're going to see what God wanted to do in our families and what God wanted to do in our finances and what God wanted to do in our ministries. But that He couldn't. Because we were not filled with the Spirit. Church, this filling of the Spirit is not mystical. The filling of the Spirit is not magical. It is a moment-by-moment relationship and surrender to the leading power of the Holy Spirit in every avenue of your life. The greatest need of the Harvest Baptist Temple today, tomorrow, and every day is that we be a people Spirit-filled. Could you stand together with me this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed? And some of us this morning just need to get to God and say, God, I want to give You more of me. God, I want to be Spirit-filled. Oh, that we would come to God this morning and seek Him and do great business with Him, because without Him we can do nothing. Father, we love You.